Very glad to be here this morning. So thankful that we have this opportunity to be able to gather on this, the first day of the week, knowing that this is the day, and of course, that the Lord has asked all of us who have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus to be able to come together as we have here this morning, that we might be able to remember what it is that Jesus did so that we could be forgiven of our sins, how we could have our sins blotted out, and how we could, of course, be forgiven and have that hope of being with God in heaven when this life on earth is over. So I know we're thankful and are anticipating gathering around the table in just a few moments in which we will be able to remember what Jesus did for us and how God loved us even in spite of that which we were and how we had been living our lives. We have been studying this weekend and will conclude that series this morning on the subject of confronting the sins that we as Christians often tolerate. And as I have said each and every time that we've introduced this topic, that all of this seems to be just a little bit, contradictory as far as the terms are concerned. Because when you use the word sin and Christian in the same phrase, a lot of people get a puzzled look. Because they have the idea that what it means to be a Christian is to be a person who has finally arrived at some state of sinlessness, where they have finally overcome all of the opposition that we have in this fallen world, where we are able to overcome the flesh, we're able to overcome our moral weakness, how we're able to overcome Satan and all of his tactics. And because of every one of those things, then here we are, we've reached a sinless state. That's what a lot of folks think being a Christian means. And perhaps, and I think maybe we're the ones who propagate that idea. You know, I find that idea to be one of the greatest stumbling blocks to evangelism that we have. Because there are so many people out there in the world who know themselves very well. They know the struggles that they go through with the sin in their own life. And then when they look at us, they do one of two things. They either see us for what we really are and think we're a bunch of hypocrites saying one thing and doing another. Or they think we really have arrived at the position of having overcome all problems. And they think about themselves and where they are. And so because of that, they say, well, I'm just not sure that I'm able to be like they are. I would obey the gospel, but I don't think I can hold out. I would like to become a Christian, but I don't see myself as ever being able to be sinless. Well, I think that what we need to do is just, first of all, confront the truth on the matter of our condition. And whenever we look at ourselves, and we want to keep this in mind, that you and I have been forgiven of our sins. You and I who are Christians, we are in Christ. We are full and complete in Him. We lack nothing as far as our spiritual needs are concerned. Christ is able to accomplish, has accomplished for all those who have placed faith in Him that which He said He could do, even to the point that we are able to say in response to the question, if I were to die at this moment, would I go to heaven? I can know the answer to that. I know a lot of times people don't like to give that answer because they hedge and they hesitate because, again, this idea of sinless perfection in practice, failing to understand that what we have in Christ is complete and full. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, John said, "These things I have written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." And he didn't say that you might know or that one day you will know. He said that you might know present tense that you have it. So I'm not going to argue with what the Holy Spirit revealed through John. And so what we're going to find, though, as we begin to look at the scripture, as we begin to study all of this out, is this, that basically in Christ we are complete. Christ has caused us to be dead to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us, as Romans chapter 6 says. But yet, still in our practice, we find that we come up short. 1 John chapter 1 says this, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So while we are complete and pure and whole in Christ, while we're still here in this world, in this flesh, we struggle. Hence, the title of the sermon, Confronting the Sins That We as Christians Tolerate. So, yes, Christians do sin. Yes, we come up short. Now, I know automatically, as we mentioned the other night, there are probably those of you who have let your minds go to the fact of such passages, for example, as what John says, he who is born of God does not sin and cannot sin. And, you know, but remember, the same John who said that in 1 John chapter 5 and 3 and is the one in the first chapter said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth's not in us. Now, what did he do? Forget what he wrote in chapter 1 by the time he got to chapter 3? No, what he was talking about there was living in open rebellion to God. No Christian will live in open rebellion to God. No person who is born again is going to abandon the Christian life for the love of the world if they're thinking correctly and if they're responding to God by faith. Now, we can lose our faith, and many do. But we find that we're warned about that. And when he says you cannot sin, he's not saying that it's something that's an impossibility. He's just saying that you can't be a Christian and do that. That's just like I used the example the other day. If I pulled up here and I was getting ready to turn left on red, and you say, you can't do that here. Well, that doesn't mean it's impossible physically for me to take a car and turn it left at a red light. I can do that. I mean, it's within the possibility. But what you mean is not lawful. So it's not lawful for a Christian to flagrantly disregard and be disobedient when it comes to the law of God. That's not lawful at all. But we still do sin. So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, we're supposed to be confronting throughout our Christian life the wrongs that we have and seeking to minimize them. The Bible uses several terms to discuss this process. It's referred to, for example, in Colossians 3, as mortifying the flesh. Mortify your members which are upon this earth. The word mortify from the Greek meaning basically to put to death. We find that Paul uses that phrase in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that if we live according to the flesh, that is, if we just simply give into it, and the flesh is what it's all about for us, and we abandon any restraint, if we get back to living a life of sin, he says, you'll die. And when he says die, I don't mean physically, because we are going to do that anyway. He was talking about a spiritual death. But he then went on and he said, but if you by the Spirit are putting to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, you live. So you see, again, he's talking about the process of mortification. In Ephesians chapter 4, he uses the illustration of put off, put on. Okay, and we may look at that a little bit later in our lessons. But he talks about putting off the old man with his deeds and putting on the new man. That's the life of a Christian. Somebody says, well, how long will it take us to get that done? You won't. Okay, when you are on your deathbed and you are breathing your last and your heart is getting ready to beat its last time, guess what? There will still be remnants of the old man present.